Chapter 19, The Rise of the New Democrat, Governor Bill Clinton. 9 months, 9 whole months before Minnesota passed the chartering legislation into law, Clinton was out on the road to nearly half the states promoting chartering as a New Democrat idea. Sometime in the late 1980s, I joined the Minnesota chapter of the Democratic Leadership Council, DLC. So did Representative Becky Kelso. To me, the DLC stood for innovation, new ideas, and a different way, though still within our basic democratic principles, of approaching problem solving. I liked that. The DLC immediately supported Minnesota's open enrollment plan and endorsed the expansion of public school choice. That's all I needed to sign on. I knew the DLC, however, did not represent the mainstream of Minnesota DFL politics. Minnesota had a tradition of being a very progressive and liberal Democratic state. Our longtime governor, Iron Ranger Rudy Perpich, was a populist. Unions were very strong, and most DFLers sought union endorsements immediately upon announcing their candidacy for any office. Minnesota DFLers had done well during the 1980s. We were firmly in control of both houses of the legislature, as well as the governorship. On the national front, however, things were not going so well for Democrats. The party was bruised and battered. With the defeat of Governor Michael Dukakis in 1988, Democrats lost a presidential election we thought we would win. In fact, Democrats lost 5 out of 6 presidential elections between Lyndon Johnson's victory in 1964 and Bill Clinton's victory in 1992. It was out of those years of frustration that the Democratic Leadership Council had emerged. It formed in 1985 when a group of young, generally moderate or center-left Democratic Congress members joined forces with a group of innovative Democratic governors. They stood for a third way, an alternative to the two-tiered approach of liberalism and conservatism that no longer worked. The founder and CEO of the DLC was Al Fromm. He had been in Democratic politics for a long time, eventually, quote, running, unquote, the U.S. House Democratic Caucus. In an interview in April 2011, Fromm said, "We decided if we didn't change what our party was about and start figuring out modern ways to achieve traditional Democratic goals with new ideas, we would cease to be a national party." The DLC's New Democrat philosophy would eventually define DLC Chairman and Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton's candidacy for the White House. In a 2005 speech, Fromm described it this way: "Clinton's New Democrat philosophy is the modernization of liberalism. It is a modern-day formula for activist government, progressive policies that create opportunity for all, not just an entitled few, mainstream values like work, family, responsibility, and community, and practical, non-bureaucratic solutions to governing. It reconnects the Democratic Party with its first principles and grandest traditions by offering new and innovative ways to further them." In April 1989, after the Dukakis defeat, Fromm began recruiting Clinton to be chairman of the DLC. He recalled, "Clinton was absolutely the most talented political leader I had ever come across. At DLC conferences, he set the room on fire. What made Clinton stand out was not just his political charisma, but also his passion for the issues, his ability to make even the most complex policy idea easily understandable to ordinary citizens. He believed that the ideas were so important that if we got those right and got the message right, all the politics would fall into place." When Clinton assumed the DLC leadership in March 1990, "We basically agreed that we would create a different agenda," said Fromm. As described in Chapter 8, Will Marshall and his colleagues at the Progressive Policy Institute, PPI, a DLC think tank, immediately recognized open enrollment and public school choice as a significant education alternative to the left-right debate. He and Ted Koldery launched discussions during the summer of 1990 of the next idea, chartering. Their discussions brought about the publication of the November 1990 PPI policy report authored by Koldery, Beyond Choice to New Public Schools, Withdrawing the Exclusive Franchise in Public Education. Koldery and Marshall were working on the report in September 1990 when Fromm and Clinton began their journey to take the new DLC agenda on the road to nearly half the states. Said Fromm, "We went around the country and tested the ideas that would become the DLC agenda. Charter schools was often a subject Clinton raised. The Ted Koldery paper wound up being really important." Clinton was an education reformer, but he did not immediately embrace the chartering idea. After Minnesota passed open enrollment, he had implemented the same legislation in Arkansas after battling the Arkansas Education Association Union. So Clinton knew being a chartering frontrunner was not without risk. In his April 2011 interview, Marshall related the following story about how Clinton finally warmed to chartering. Governor Clinton and Al Fromm were on the road honing and refining the new Democratic message. Clinton was getting a lot of criticism that the DLC was divisive, combative, causing disharmony and disunity in the party. Teachers were expressing anxiety about chartering. "I remember talking on the phone with him somewhere on the road. He had been getting pushback and blowback and wanted to know why we were so keen on chartering. I explained why it was a potential alternative between the, quote, more money Dem, unquote, crowd and conservatives who saw public education as a hopeless bureaucracy to bypass with vouchers. We had a vigorous conversation. It got a little heated. I was arguing the third way. He accused me of being willing to poke a stick in the eye of liberal interests and being unduly provocative of groups with whom he had good relationships, which he wanted to keep. I said we needed to champion reform, not just funding. He had been called a reformer in David Osborne's book, Laboratories of Democracy. So I told him, we either reform the public school system or conservatives would get the upper hand. He understood that. He found a way to wrap his mind around it and be comfortable with it. He knew ideas were powerful, ideas like national service. Like national service, chartering included a core logic that ordinary people found attractive. So he warmed to the idea of chartering and weaved it into his repertoire. Clinton never wavered after that. As Fromm remembered, "We went to Mississippi in 1990 or 1991. We arrived very late for an event. We wound up missing the event. Clinton came in and just did a press conference. With all the education people and the teachers' unions in the back of the press conference, he did his deal on charter schools." In another instance, Fromm recalled, "I remember going to Los Angeles in 1991, and we were at a dinner that Warren Beatty, Annette Bening, and Patricia Duff had put together. The first question was, 'You're not for charter schools, are you?' And Clinton said, 'Yes, I am, and you should be too, and here's why.'" As I write this history 20 years later, nothing astonishes me more than this. 9 months, 9 whole months before Minnesota passed the chartering legislation into law, Clinton was out on the road to nearly half the states promoting chartering as a new Democrat idea. I knew none of this at the time. Moreover, I don't think Koldery knew it either. Clinton, Fromm, and Marshall took a visionary idea from Koldery's PPI paper and began a national discussion. Unbelievable. What a leap of faith. Clinton and Fromm officially rolled out the DLC agenda at their national convention in Cleveland on May 5th through 7th, 1991. The convention included more than 1,000 Democrats from all 50 states, including delegates from 22 DLC state organizations. By this time, the DLC included over 600 federal, state, and local elected officials. On May 6, Clinton presented his keynote speech, which Clinton later said was one of the best and most important he ever gave. In that speech, he laid out the themes that would become signatures of his eventual presidential run: opportunity, responsibility, and community. Fromm recalled, "A big part of that speech was choice, about giving people more choices to do things. Charter schools was one of the four or five big ideas that we did in Cleveland that defined the agenda." Specifically, Clinton said this about choice: "We should be for more choices. Choice is not a code word for elitism or racism. We are living in a world when all of us want choices, even 60 channels on cable television, with appropriate protections against discrimination based on race or income. We can provide our people more choices: childcare vouchers, public school choice options, job training programs, and choices for the elderly, to let them have more choices to stay independent and stay at home." Following Clinton's keynote speech, the convention passed the New American Choice Resolution with the following language for making public education work: "States and communities must commit to restructuring educational systems, pushing more decision-making down to the school level to principals and teachers on the firing line, while increasing accountability by districts and states, with rewards for schools which are succeeding and consequences for those which are not. States should develop public school choice plans with protection against discrimination based on race, religion, and poverty. Should consider giving entities other than school districts the opportunity to operate public schools, and should develop alternative public schools. We support ways to encourage shared decision-making among parents, teachers, government, and citizens of the community." The DLC agenda would shape Clinton's presidential campaign in 1992. In his interview, Fromm noted, "One of the remarkable things about the 1992 campaign is that most of the ideas we ran on came from outside Washington. The Ted Koldery paper was critical in the charter school thing. Most of the things we were looking at were things that weren't really being debated in Washington. These ideas changed the whole course of Democratic politics. That is why it was so important that you had a Democrat that would lead it. Otherwise, with chartering, the teachers' unions would not have let anything happen. This was really important." The presentation of the New American Choice Resolutions at the DLC National Convention in Cleveland was not without controversy. Later, on November 10, 2005, Fromm would give a speech to the 11th Presidential Conference at Hofstra University, where he would say, "The new choice resolutions broke new ground, calling for ideas like national service, an expanded earned income tax credit, welfare reform, charter schools, and reinventing government. Those ideas may not seem radical or even particularly bold today, but in 1991, they provoked plenty of controversy. Jesse Jackson protested outside the convention hall. So did other Democratic interest groups. A rival group of liberals led by Senator Howard Metzenbaum of Ohio, called the Coalition for Democratic Values, met in Des Moines that same weekend, arguing that Democrats should reject Clinton, the DLC, and the New Democrat approach. You'd think I would have been aware of all this conversation about chartering at the national level. But we were in the middle of the crucial conference committee negotiations, and the unions were rising up quickly and powerfully. With the knowledge that 1,000 center-left Democrats had passed a resolution supporting chartering have helped or hurt our cause in Minnesota? Even today, I'm not sure. All I can say now is that I'm glad I made the decision to go forward with the compromised chartering legislation. According to Marshall in his 2011 interview, the fact that chartering in any form began in Minnesota was key. It was so important that it started in Minnesota with Upper Midwest progressives and then went on to another progressive state like California. It could not have started in the South with a difficult racial history. I talked with the Dems in my home state of Virginia, and they were not convinced. They saw chartered schools as segregation academies. The chartering concept was already on its way. Clinton, our most powerful supporter, was leading the charge. It wouldn't be long before Clinton would have key support from another centrist. Minnesota Republican Senator David Durenberger was about to introduce chartering legislation into the U.S. Senate.